भगवद गीता 9.4 यातमिदं सर्वं जगदव्यक्तमूर्तिना मत्स्थानि सर्वभूतानि न चाहं तेष्वस्थितः मया ततमिदं सर्वं कृष्ण फ्रॉम दिस वर्स इन द गीता'स 9th चैप्टर starts describing his relationship with the material world. In the first three verses, he has glorified the knowledge that he is going to share. So here he states, now he's moving on to the details of that knowledge. One aspect is his inconceivable relationship with the world. This is part of the Guhya Gyan that he is giving. So he states here, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. Maya, by me, Tatam Idam Sarvam. Idam, this, Sarvam, all of it. This Jagad, so all of this universe, by me, avyakta murtina, it is pervaded in my unmanifested form. Matsthani sarvabhutani. In me, all of existence, all living beings are situated. Nachaham teshvavasthitaha. Nachaham, but I am not in them. So here many important points. First, let's look at it. This verse talks about God's omnipresence. We know that among the defining attributes of God are omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. So, omnipotence is he's all powerful. Omniscience is he knows everything. Omnipresence is he's present everywhere. So, how is he present? By his pervasiveness in his avyakta murtina. Now this is an intriguing phrase, avyakta murtina, because form, murti, can usually be translated as form, and form is usually not thought of as unmanifest. Form is something which is manifest to us. So, for example, when we make a murti, murti is a replica, an effigy, figurine, statue, whatever it is. When we make a form of someone, then that basically means that we have it visible to us. That is the essential meaning of the word form, that something is visible, perceivable to us. If that is the case, then what does avyakta murtina mean? So, the word avyakta, we've seen that it has been used by Krishna earlier in the previous chapter, that in he used in 8.20 and before that in 8.18 also. So 8.18 it referred to matter in a manifest and an unmanifest form. So when the universe is created, the matter comprising it is in a manifest form. When the universe is destroyed, the matter comprising it goes into an unmanifest form. And then he talked about that was avyakta, avyaktaya, sarva, prabhavatyah, ragame, रात्र्यागमे प्रलीयन्ते तत्रैवाव्यक्तसंज्ञके। And then beyond that, in beyond that, in 8.20, he used it as parastasmat bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanah yaha sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. So there he used the word avyakta to refer to parastasmat bhavo nyo. So he's talking about the spiritual world which is beyond the vyakta and avyakta. And then he's talking about 8.21, that avyaktaksharityuktastamahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. There he has used the word avyakta to characterize the spiritual world. And this avyakta is not unmanifest matter. This is that which is transcendental to matter, that which is spiritual. So the word avyakta has different meanings in different places. Now, what does it mean in this context? Avyakta murtina. So we could say that it refers to unmanifest form. Now, this can refer at one level to Krishna. Krishna's form in general is unmanifest. Krishna is transcendental, and because he is transcendental, he is not perceivable to us directly with our senses. So, of course, Krishna's personal form is perceivable through our spiritual senses. And Krishna's personal form manifests as the deity that is perceivable to us even through our material senses. But here what is being referred to is not the personal form, but the impersonal form, avyakta murtina. So now, usually, the word form is here, he is used here, not exactly in the shape of, not exactly to refer to shape, but it is used to refer to manifestation. That the Lord has many manifestations, and one of them is the impersonal manifestation. So in his impersonal manifestation, when he exists, that manifestation is something which is beyond, that is beyond nature. And in that manifestation, there is that, so it's it is beyond nature, it is not material, it's transcendental, but still it is beyond perception also. So Krishna pervades all of existence in his avyakta murtina. So this answers the question, why he is, if he's all pervading, why is he invisible to us? Because he exists in an impersonal form, in a form which is not perceivable to our vision, avyakta. But then after that also he says that matsthani sarvabhutani matsthani, that all living beings are situated in him. This means that God is not disconnected from the world. He is the sustainer. They are situated in him. Nachaham teshu avasthitaha, but I am not situated in them. So this verse can refer in a broad pattern to the three manifestations of the absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. The first verse, the first two lines refer to Brahman. The third line to the Paramatma. Matso mayatatamadam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. This refers to Brahman who is manifested everywhere. who is sort of not manifested, who pervades, who is the manifestation of God's God, who pervades everywhere but is unmanifest to our vision. And then there is Paramatma, who is the sustainer of all of existence, who is the sustainer of all living beings. And then there is Bhagavan, who is beyond this world, who is transcendental in his self-existence, beyond this world, in his own abode. So in a nutshell, these words can be said to be referring to all these three manifestations of the Absolute Truth and the distinct relationships that they have with this world and the living beings in this world. So one is the all-pervasive manifestation, the other is the immanent manifestation, and the third is the transcendent manifestation. So the impersonal, the immanent, and the transcendent are all three referred to in this single verse in a capsule form. Thank you.